trying to brainstorm what we're going to talk about today. A couple of days off the end of the extended regular season of college football, Army-Navy withstanding on Saturday. And then last night happened. The news out from Dan Wolken that Will Muschamp will not be retaining Kurt Roper. Kurt Roper not expected to be retained as the offensive coordinator for Gamecock football. That coming out relatively late last night. And then Wolken even doubles down on that and says, well, with two offensive coordinator jobs open in the SEC East today and both head coaches being Jimmy Sexton clients, wondering if Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss coach, comes into play as a candidate for one of these openings. And according to Wolken, the show cause deal that the NCAA will throw on a coach where their NCAA issues does not apply here, with Freeze being an assistant. So that's how we start this morning. I know you mentioned several days ago, last week, that you did not expect Kurt Roper to be back. I agreed with you. And then we heard Will Muschamp Sunday night being asked directly about that and giving very short answers. And I mentioned at the time, I took a lot away from that, what was not said as opposed to what was said, and that's how these press conferences go a lot of times. So let's start with simply, are you surprised as we sit here today where this is going?
No, and my expectation is that later today that what will end up happening is Brian McClendon will be named the, whether it's offensive coordinator, true offensive coordinator for the bowl game or another co-title along with Bobby Bentley, that they will be the ones, but Brian McClendon will be the guy now who runs the offense for the bowl game, just for the bowl game. And then I think it'll be entertaining and interesting. And this is, I think it's unfair, but I think it's the true statement, is that this is the hire that could end up defining Will Muschamp's coaching career at South Carolina. You have a lot of talent that'll be back in 2018. You've got some good players coming in that can help down the line. There's no doubt now that the stigma is still there attached with Will Muschamp. Great defenses, can really coach it up. Offenses that they can't produce. And
I think you'll disagree with me on the surface, because I've heard you say that Brent Venables has really basically legitimized or is the coordinator that turned the Clemson program around. But to me, the one that helped Dabo Sweeney get to another level was his first offensive coordinator. I guess it's his second hire, but the first time he switched offensive coordinators and went out and hired Chad Morris, and that Clemson offense became a different thing than it was before. And I think that helped that program get to that next level to be able to even attract a guy like Brent Venables.
No, you're exactly right. The Chad Morris hire was the one that set everything in motion. I just think
because it was Billy Napier before him, right? And Napier is a respected coach, and the offense was, it wasn't terrible. But it wasn't great. It wasn't towards the top of college football. And that was a signal that Clemson sent, I think, that they were going to pour all their resources into going to the next level. And, I mean, they set the bar around the country about paying assistant coaches. And they did it at first with that Chad Morris hire. And they backed it up with Brent Venables a couple of years later, maybe a year later. And now we see where they are.
No, the Chad Morris hire was out of the box and innovative because he had been at Tulsa, I think, for only a year, I believe.
No ties to South Carolina.
And no ties
to Dabo Sweeney, right?
That got the ball rolling. But the one that escalated Clemson, that elevated Clemson into what they are, was without a doubt the Brent Venables hire. That, to me, is no questions asked. Brent Venables took them and made them the championship program they are now that we see. But, it'll be interesting because I think Will Muschamp, we'll see. I think he's going to try and go outside of the program. I do not see long-term Brian McClendon ending up being the guy, or Bobby Bentley for that matter. I think he's going to try and go with someone who's proven, who's got experience. I think that was one of Kurt Roper's biggest flaws, is that he was learning on the job. You can be around David Cutcliffe. You can be around great coaches. But when you have to actually call the game plan, things are a little bit different. And I don't think that Steve Spurrier necessarily started calling plans right off the bat when he was, Georgia Tech maybe, and then I can't remember what the other assistant job. You learn it over time, but there's no doubt Will Muschamp, this is one. He's got this program heading in the right direction. Recruiting's picking up. You got Jake Bentley for two more years. You have DeCarrion Joyner coming in. Next year you'll have a lot of receivers, plenty of running backs, an offensive line that appears to be getting better. Whoever comes in does not have a honeymoon period. you're expected to come in, get the offense in 15 spring practices, have it up and running during fall camp, and when we see them against Coastal Carolina on September 1st or 2nd or whatever the day is next year, you expect it to be humming pretty highly, and you expect whoever that is. Now, it'd be interesting to see who gets and how people get reassigned in their titles. Does Bobby Bentley get the permanent quarterback coaching position? That's something he was kind of known for at Burns. Mm-hmm. And I know people are going to say, well, wait a minute, Bobby Bentley coaching Jake Bentley, and how does that make like a DeCarrion Joyner feel or another quarterback? Well, Jake Bentley's only here 2 more years. He's only going to be here 2 more years. I don't think that that's going to have a massive impact, but I think that that's one move you may see is Bobby Bentley full-time at quarterback's coach, and then maybe your offensive coordinator is your running back's coach. Maybe you hire – they're going to have the 10th assistant that's available on January 30th, I believe. Maybe you hire a running back coach, and the offensive coordinator is just strictly the offensive coordinator, not in charge of an actual position. So I think it's going to be an entertaining time for Will Muschamp now, because this is the program – I don't want to say it's plateaued out, but it's kind of like Clemson. It's time to take another step. Now, you win 8 games, you have an opportunity to win 9 – it's time to take another step, because you go backwards next year, you go to 7 wins, the excitement's not going to be there, so especially with the team he's got coming back.
Well, Will Muschamp and his staff had the benefit of the doubt and did have year zero was the term that got thrown out in their first year because of taking over a 3-9 program. The offensive coordinator gets a little bit of leeway because you have a bunch of guys, unproven, young. You have all of that. Now, after improving from 3-9 to 6-6 in the regular season, 6-7 overall last year, and turning that into 8-4 in a regular season, you move into year 3 of the program overall. This is what a new offensive coordinator steps into, and also a bunch of production returning, including a quarterback who has played a bunch of college football and is known as almost a coach on the field type guy. So that's the situation that a new offensive coordinator will step into, whether he be from within the staff or someone else. So I'm interested in hearing some names out there. The other big college football news last night is that Willie Taggart will be coming from Oregon and taking over Jimbo Fisher's spot at Florida State. I think this goes into our conversation about the Gamecock offensive coordinator, because when you look at Willie Taggart's numbers, you're like, huh? How's this guy getting $5 million to take over one of the best, if not the best, college football program out there? I mean, I think he's like 1 game under .500 or something in his career as a coach. He went 7-5 this past year at Oregon. I understand Oregon was trying to rebuild, and Western Kentucky, he certainly rebuilt the program. South Florida, the same deal. But from a sheer number standpoint, it would make zero sense, just like firing Jim McElwain at Florida would make zero sense. Of course, that's not what it's all about. It's also that Willie Taggart has an innovative offense, or certainly has that title out there, that moniker, and that's what gets fans excited right now, and that's one of the issues that South Carolina football would certainly have had if Kurt Roper would have stayed on as offensive coordinator into year number 3 for Will Muschamp. This is not earth-shattering news necessarily. It is a strong move by Will Muschamp after 2 years, much like he had to do during his Florida tenure when Brent Peace was his offensive coordinator. After Charlie Weiss, he went out and hired Peace, who had a really good reputation at Boise State. Indiana tried to hire him as their offensive coordinator before he was a coordinator, and then Chris Peterson and company hired him right back, and Peace came to Florida with a big-time reputation. Right now, he's out of football. He was UTEP's offensive coordinator this year. They started 0-3, and they fired him. And his career certainly did not go how he wanted it to. The numbers at Florida during 2 years under Peace, very similar to what we've seen in 2 years under Kurt Roper here at the University of South Carolina. So that leads to the question, should Will Muschamp hire the next Gamecock football offensive coordinator from outside the program? Simple yes or no answer at Tim Hill 107.5 on Twitter is where you can go and weigh in on today's Frank's Discount Tire poll question. Of course, this news is still unofficial from the university, but Dan Wolken, very highly respected. He's not the only person that we've heard that this is going to happen from. So that's why we are going with the assumption that this is going to be true. And another piece of evidence, if you will, if you're looking for that, what came up last night, DeCarrion Joyner, the highly touted Gamecock quarterback commit from down in the low country, had a picture last night in home visit with Will Muschamp and Brian McClendon. Mm-hmm. Kurt Roper was visiting a couple of days ago, maybe last week at some point, right. A picture came up with him early on in the process, but that did not happen last night. So that's where we are. As we begin our conversation this morning, we'd like to do that with you on the Love Chevrolet phone lines at 803-404-6100. Joseph is up early with us this morning. Hello, Joseph. Hey, Joseph, are you there? Can you hear us?
Hey, I'm right here. Sorry, I was not paying attention.
No problem.
One thing, I've been a member of IPTA for 16 years, keep up with the program religiously. But one thing that people don't seem to realize, I don't know if it's everyone or it's just certain folks, is Dabo Swinney and those coaches you mentioned that he got. One is Chad Morris was offered the head coaching job at Tulsa after he accepted offensive coordinator about 2 days later and turned it down. And everyone knows he wanted to be a head coach, obviously. He's probably going to end up being the head coach at Arkansas. And stayed with Swinney to be an offensive coordinator rather than taking the head reins at Tulsa. They have an excellent athletic director. So for some reason, he's amazing at picking coaches in both football and basketball. He had like three or four consecutive really good football coaches. Of course, they can't hold on to him because they're a stepping stone job, unfortunately for them, not in the Power Five. Brent Venables, nobody wanted Brent Venables. Let's get that out of the way right now. He was coming off of a season in the Big 12, which he was giving up 440 yards a game, which ranked him somewhere in the bottom quartile of defense nationally. He's also going up against, I believe, six of the top 10 offenses nationally those last 2 years he was at Oklahoma. So badly that he was bringing in Mike Stoops to be co-coordinator because Brent was starting to have rumblings from the Oklahoma fan base about whether he could cut it in the Big 12 with all those offenses. And he left a 14-year relationship. He recruited Hobby from Cutcliffe, who Hobby says is my father, and got him to lead his father, coach D-line, or defensive ends, not even D-line, at Clemson. Dabo Swinney is probably either one, two, or three, along with Urban and Saban at recruiting football players. But he's number one at recruiting adults that coach football for Clemson and keeping them. And he's second to none. People don't give him the credit for how he can recruit coaches. And someone said, what are you going to do with Brent Venables leaves? Well, you just let the man do his job and watch and see. Because whoever he hires, I promise you, will be absolutely dynamite. And I hope Brent does get a head coaching job soon. I thought he deserved the Arkansas job. And what are you hearing about the Arkansas job? And then secondly, do you really believe that South Carolina would hire a Hugh Freeze, two burner phones, 450 prostitution calls, less than a year out of those stories breaking and getting Ole Miss on probation? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call, Joseph. I don't think they would hire Hugh Freeze right now, but it's an interesting thought that it's even being floated out there.
Oh, yeah, you should state that it's not somebody we suggested. You were tweeting, you were reading another tweet from Dan Wolken.
Right.
And Dan Wolken was basically just saying there's openings in the SEC. And
for an offensive coordinator, yeah. One of the most proven offensive coordinators in the last several years is a guy like Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
He comes with a lot of baggage.
You weren't saying he should be hired or that it was a possibility.
Right.
There you go.
But it does go back into the question that came up with Greg Schiano and fans and how much do you think fans should influence? And we had the poll question last week, and most of you said absolutely zero or very little. And then I mentioned, well, what if there is a move with the offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks and they want to go with a guy like Art Briles or maybe even Kendall Briles? And I didn't even think of Hugh Freeze, but now Dan Wolken did that for me. That might change the conversation for you. I don't think anyone in the SEC will do that. I think maybe Hugh Freeze would have a better chance to go somewhere else, almost like kind of little FBI relocation plan and reinvigorate his image that way. But there's no doubt he's a good football coach. It's kind of like it's Lane Kiffin. It's different type baggage, but there is no questioning X's and O's what they have done in their football career. What did you think about what he was saying about Dabo Swinney? Todd Graham, by the way, the former Arizona State coach, I did not realize has a very similar type reputation for Dabo Swinney in hiring really good assistants. He's worked with Gus Malzahn under him. He had Chad Morris under him for a little while as well. And Mike Norvell, the Memphis guy, Major Applewhite as well. All these guys. So it's a specific talent for sure to be able to identify really good players, first of all, like he was just saying, and also assistant coaches. That is a huge deal. And Will Muschamp has missed on every single offensive coordinator he's had. I don't know how you could argue with that. The question then becomes, where do you lay the blame? Is it influenced by the head coach in his system, and that's why these guys have failed? Or has he failed to identify really good offensive coaches?
Well, a couple things. To go back, let's answer it. He was asking about the Arkansas job. As of last night, it sounds like Chad Morris has got a very good chance to get that job. I think what I read last night is that the concern, and this goes back to the fans thing, is that Chad Morris is not the attractive hire that Arkansas wants to make, that they're afraid that he will not put fans in the stands quick enough, that he will have to go out and win football games in order to attract some publicity from the fans, from his fan base, not nationally,
right,
but from
his fan
base. Don't
you think that's short-sighted, though? A short-sighted way of looking at it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, because if he's a good hire, he's going to win, and if he wins, then – But
it's very much the Will Muschamp national reaction, right?
Right.
And ignoring, like, the complete body of work and just going with kind of a gut reaction or a knee-jerk thing. And Chad Morris, while not putting up a tremendous record at SMU, almost like Willie Taggart, comes in with a similar type reputation, offensive genius in college football, and I think could be a good fit there. The Brent Venables situation, also an interesting deal, but we played his response yesterday from a question by Bo Mattingly about his interest in the Arkansas head coaching job, and it did not go well. And I mentioned that, you know, some guys are better off being coordinators and not head coaches and glad-handing and doing all the public speaking, and Venables seems to be that guy. Ty hit me up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox last night and mentioned that Venables has said he values loyalty, family, and winning, and he doesn't seem like a conventional guy chasing money. Ty says there are still a few of us that aren't driven by the almighty dollar. I say he stays at Clemson. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Brent Venables ends up staying at Clemson. I think it's just a smart career move to pursue these opportunities, at least to some extent. At this point, you can at least up your dollar amount with your current. I mean,
right.
He's making a ton of money at Clemson. I don't know where that cap is, that ceiling, but you keep going to the college football playoff, and that thing keeps rising. And if he doesn't feel like it's a perfect situation, and if Arkansas doesn't feel like it's a perfect situation, then you don't go to
no,
it. It's very easy.
And I mean, Brent Venables can easily command $2 million of Clemson if that's what he would like to do at the end of this year.
Coach.
Yeah, and he would be worth it. And there's no doubt he would be worth it. And I think that's one thing. You can give credit to Dabo Swinney, and certainly he made the hires. Give credit to the Clemson administration for saying, all right, we're going to make the financial aspect of it work. Yeah, you want to keep Venables? What do we got to do? $1.8 million? All right, no problem. I think
it reminds me of the USC basketball situation back in the day when Eric Hyman is the athletic director. He hires Darren Horn because he didn't have a ton of money to go get a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hires Frank Martin. It's the same guy making hires. He just had different resources available at different times.
Well, and so I think to circle back to South Carolina, I think you're going to see South Carolina about to take a very similar approach with Travaris Robinson, who's going to be courted by a lot of colleges with all these coaching changes. South Carolina is about to make Travaris Robinson a very happily, he and his family very happy with the financial package they're going to put together to take care of him. And Will Muschamp's doing something that Dabo Swinney did very similar early on in his career. Will Muschamp saying, I don't want as much money for me in my contract right now. I want to apply it to my assistants. And you're going to see Brian McClendon probably here in the next few weeks, whether he gets the offensive coordinator title or not, also receive a pretty significant raise as well. But Chad Morris, let's finish that. I think Chad Morris will be the next coach of Arkansas. I think that they will kind of just say, look, let this guy come in and win, and he'll end up being the next guy. So he was asking about the Arkansas job. The other thing with Dabo Swinney, again, financially, his administration has backed him up. That has helped tenfold, keeping those guys intact, keeping Jeff Scott, keeping Tony Elliott, keeping Chad Morris for as long as they did, being able to keep Brent Venables, keeping some of that staff intact. When you financially help those guys, one of the biggest downfalls for South Carolina in the Steve Spurrier era was when Jay Graham and Craig Fitzgerald wanted new contracts, and they did, and the administration wouldn't give them a 2-year deal because they basically Eric Hyman said, "Look, we give 1-year deals. That's what we do. That's the MO around here, and they're going to be on 1-year deals." And so Jay Graham left and went to Florida State, and Craig Fitzgerald went to Penn State. and you lost really good assistants. Shane Beamer obviously had the opportunity to go home and be with his father and coach with his father, and that one was going to be tough to fight financially regardless. But you've got to pay these assistant coaches nowadays. The head coach making $7.5 million at Texas A&M. If I'm an assistant coach and I'm helping that coach earn that 7.5, I want a chunk of the piece of the pie as well. I want a little bit of money of that. So you need to give me $1 million, $1.5 million. And
oh, an insight into the contract negotiations here at 107.5 The Game on the early game right there.
Yeah, there you go. So, I think, you know, and to go back with everything with what I think you're about to see with South Carolina is them financially take care of people. And I think that they will open up the checkbook for we talked about during the baseball search. I think if the coach had been out there that Ray Tanner needed to pay the money for, he would have done it, just based on what I had heard. I don't think he felt he needed to do that with Mark Kingston. I think he felt like he got his guy. I think he paid what he wanted for his guy, and that's where they're at. But if he'd have needed to open up, if Kevin O'Sullivan had called and said, you know what, I want to come. I'm not going to win a championship in Florida. Let me come. But it's going to take this amount of money. I think Ray Tanner would have done that, and I think that they'll do that now for whoever the next offensive coordinator is at South Carolina.
Certainly the national championship, back-to-back national championship baseball winning program at a different spot than the Gamecock football program right now. Should Will Muschamp hire the next Gamecock football offensive coordinator from within his football staff or from outside the program is how I've worded the Frank's Discount Tire poll question. Reading is hard. 84% of you going with yes right now as your answer to the Frank's Discount Tire poll question. Bill, are you surprised by the results? It is a little bit surprising. It's so overwhelming to me knowing they've got a couple of guys on the staff and Brian McClendon, former co-coordinator at Georgia, and a guy like Bobby Bentley, a longtime, very successful offensive coach and coach in general in high school football, went to Presbyterian as a head coach and has been an offensive guy his entire life with tons of experience with quarterbacks and calling ball plays.
I understand where people are coming from on that and why. I do understand why the vote is so high in terms of yes. But I don't think it's as cut and dry. I don't think it's as easy as that. I do think you have a guy.
As easy as what?
As just saying, yeah, you got to go outside of the staff and hire somebody else.
Well, that's what Will Muschamp has always done, right?
Right.
In his Florida days, anyway.
And I think it's one of those things. It's kind of like when Chad Morris left Clemson. There had been success, so the natural assumption is, all right, Tony Elliott, Jeff Scott. Yep, you guys just learned the system, keep it rolling.
Well, they said that had been in the works for a while.
Right.
They were anticipating that, and it had been set up that way. And clearly it has worked out very well for them.
But I think, again, because there's not been success, you go, well, all right, we got to try anything new. Who's to say Bobby Bentley's system? I don't know. Brian McClendon, I think it's going to be interesting. Brian McClendon's going to run the bowl practices. And if he goes out, and Michigan's a really good defense. Michigan's one of the top 15 defenses in the country. So it's hard, I think, to just say, well, man, if McClendon has a bad day, it's not necessarily on him. But I think you do have good options on your staff. I think the question is, they're unproven options.
Mm-hmm. And you know what Gamecock fans are thinking right now, right? I've heard this story, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Going into the Capital One Bowl against Nebraska. And the Gamecocks played well on defense that day. And what happened as a result of that?
Didn't go well later on in the future.
Lorenzo Ward was hired from within to take over for Ellis Johnson at defensive coordinator, and it lasted. It had a decent 2-year run, right?
When there were some good players.
Right, really good players, with Jadeveon Clowney already there and company, and then it just fell off.
I think, to me, the one interesting guy is Bobby Bentley, and that's because we know him in this state. You know, if Bobby Bentley was from the state of North Carolina, if he was from the Raleigh area and he'd put up a whole bunch of numbers, I think you'd be less inclined to maybe get him. But I think because Bentley has been in the state at Burns, and we've seen the production of Burns, we've seen the dominance of Burns, and then you did see him go to Presbyterian and set some offensive number. I mean, he did go to Presbyterian. I get it. Presbyterian, South Carolina, totally different. But that is the one intriguing guy to me that you kind of look at and go, okay, but it's such a risky hire. And I think for Will Muschamp, he knows this program for South Carolina, it's not there. It's not ready to compete with Georgia. Georgia's in the college football playoffs. South Carolina's an 8-win team. But the offense has to take the next step. And, man, you're going to have a lot of players back next year that can do that and put you in that position. So,
and you look at the schedule, and everyone that follows Gamecock football has done that and said, right. Oh, well, if you're going to do it, this could be a really good year to do it.
And I'll just say one more thing. I think if you're going to say, okay, he needs to go outside of the staff, that's fine. Whom is the name he needs to go? And don't give me like, well, Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin's available. Go hire. Like, Kevin Sumlin's got $10 million. He's not going to be an offensive coordinator anywhere. Like, Kevin Sumlin can take a year off. Kevin Sumlin will get a head coaching job at some point.
If he wants it.
It's
an intriguing name, though. What I've learned following South Carolina football, starting with the hire of Lou Holtz, is it's very difficult to dismiss the largest names. I understand that was a head coach deal. And then Steve Spurrier comes in after that. I mean, Frank Martin did make the move to come here after Darren Horn. So I would caution you. I understand the general.
I'm with you on the head coaching thing, but I mean, like, it's.
But what we're seeing at Clemson right now is being a coordinator in college football, big boy college football, is a good gig. And it pays well if you do well. And it can be better than a lot of head coaching jobs. I think if Clemson can do it, certainly South Carolina can do it. So I understand what you're saying. You're trying to avoid the crazy calls today where you're just like, hey, why not bring back Mike Shanahan or something crazy, right?
Yeah.
I hear you. I'm just saying, as logical and rational as that might be to say, no way that's going to happen, I wouldn't leave it out of the realm of possibility that a big name comes and takes the job. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Okay? Is that fair? No.
Great.
Not fair at all. You've
opened it. Steve Spurrier's not doing anything. I mean, he wants to be offensive coordinator.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Great.
Let's get out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Lamar's been waiting very patiently, talking about hiring within the program, within the coaching staff, or going outside the program. Good morning, Lamar.
How's it going, man?
All right. What do you think?
Good. I think that he's trying to give Brian McClendon a shot, because I'm looking at what the guy did 4 years ago, I think it was, prior to him becoming the receivers coach here at Carolina. I mean, once they got ready to fire Mark Richt, I mean, he took over the Georgia program and actually won that bowl game. Mm-hmm. Like, Georgia never missed a beat. So, I mean, hey, why not give him a shot?
I hear you, Lamar. Doing it for one bowl game is a lot different than doing it full-time being in charge of the offense moving forward. And Lorenzo Ward, I think, is the best example of that from a Gamecock perspective within a staff. But there's no doubt that Brian McClendon has the resume that could justify this hire. It would be a risky move, I think, for Will Muschamp to a large degree, Bill. Would you agree with that, knowing the importance of this hire to his head coaching future?
You know, here's the question, the honest question I think that's going to be asked. How much do you trust Will Muschamp in this hire? I mean, because you're right. No, Brian McClendon's a risky hire.
Well, that sounds like a second poll question to throw out.
I feel like because you look at it.
So you're saying you want Steve Spurrier to be in charge of be a one-man search committee for Will Muschamp?
I'm pretty sure they don't want Spurrier to be a search committee. They want Spurrier to be the offensive coordinator. Play golf, prep game plans, do whatever. You don't have to recruit Spurrier.
I heard a lot of people complaining about his play calling.
Exactly. There was a whole bunch of complaining going on when at times during his tenure. But, you know, again, you look at, and I don't blame Charlie Weiss. If you believe people from Florida that said when Muschamp was hired, one of the stipulations was you need to hire a guy like Charlie Weiss,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to hire a guy like they kind of force that. Now, Brent Peace, Kurt Roper, those are on him. So, you know, with that kind of track record, I hate to say it, like, what makes Brian McClendon different than going out and hiring, say, a Jake Spavadal who's at West Virginia, or a Noel Mazone who was at Texas A&M with Kevin Sumlin.
Good point. Spencer's up next on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Good morning, Spencer.
Top of the morning, boys, to you. Top of the morning.
What do you think, sir?
Hey, I was going to talk a little Roper, but then you guys went off. You mentioned Ray Tanner. Can I digress for a minute, get your take on that pitiful letter he wrote earlier this week?
Apparently that's what you want to do. I'm not going to stop you.
I don't know. I mean, did you guys read it? I mean, it was like,
I have not read the letter.
We're satisfied with 8-4, you know. Meanwhile, Clemson's blowing the doors off, but it's all good. Like, John, did you read that?
John isn't part of the program.
John left. John ran down the hall real quick. He'll be back.
All right. Well, okay. Well, great radio here. When he comes back to his job, ask him about that question for me,
okay.
If you don't mind.
Who's John exactly?
Kurt Roper. you know, when the same, you know, when the defense looks at your personnel groupings and knows exactly what play's coming, they know the snap count exactly. I mean, it's time, you know, time for a change. I do think that there are tons of great candidates out there. Just to set the record straight, McClendon's, he doesn't call ball plays, didn't at Georgia, and doesn't want to do it here. So I don't know. I think that needs to be cleared up as well. So I don't think he's actually a real candidate to be actually calling the plays. He's going to retain that title, but I think you need to go outside. And I think this is a seminal moment for Will. I think you can see that the guy has matured and progressed as a head coach, you know, most notably like on the sidelines. He's not a crazy man. And I think he handled this the best way he could. It looks a lot better optically if someone sort of moves on, maybe with a head coaching job like Sean Elliott, or maybe with Rice, but didn't work out with Roper. But I think he's given him time to get another job. I think he's handled it beautifully. I'm gonna give Muschamp one more try, and then after that, we'll see how it pans out. So get his take on the Ray Tanner letter when he comes back. See you, man.
Who is John? Unbelievable.
I think you meant Jen.
Oh, maybe. Spencer with an interesting take, as always. Just reading the Ray Tanner letter, it's a pretty standard athletic director letter, I think, to fans. Talking up the Outback Bowl, talking up the season that was 8-4. I think Spencer fails to realize exactly how far Carolina has come here in a couple of years. They didn't have to go from 3-9 to 6-6 to 8-4, even with a down SEC East. Ask Tennessee, ask Florida, and I know a lot of you would like to weigh in on the other side of the argument where Spencer was coming from. What are you giggling at? Just the phones? Yeah. We'll get back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines when we come back.
We got to find out who John is.
Who is John? So, top of the hour, John. You'll be back in. Good to hear it. Excellent. Can't wait to have John back in the All-South Federal Credit Union studio. Spencer can finally get what he's looking for. Shepherd's Glass inbox this morning. Spencer's waiting for a hot take from John. Matt says, I can't wait to get that scorching hot take on that letter. Love the show. Listen every day. Keep up the good work, Tom and Bill. John Watts weighs in. I am John, and even I don't know who he's talking about. I love live radio.
And Michael weighs in. Where's John at?
We don't know, but we're looking for him.
We'll track him down. I'm going to work on that at the top of the hour break.
Maybe we'll get John to get in here. Spencer wants him to do his job. We got to get John to do his job.
Yeah, he needs a hot take on this.
Come on, John.
Ask. We got to find out what John thinks about this letter.
News of the morning. If you're just tuning us in, I understand. If you're completely confused, it's not your fault. We are confused, and we've been here the whole time. The news coming out late last night, Dan Wolkin putting it out on Twitter, that Will Muschamp will not retain Kurt Roper moving forward with the offensive coordinator. That's led us to the Frank's Discount Tire poll question. Should he hire an outside offensive coordinator right now? You got a couple of guys on the staff, certainly would be qualified to take the job. And Brian McClendon, your receivers coach, your running backs coach, Bobby Bentley as well. 85% of you, though, right now saying yes, Will Muschamp should hire from outside the program. Let's go out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines at 803-404-6100. Justin is waiting to weigh in this morning. Hello, Justin.
I know a lot of people want to go out and hire a big splash name from wherever, but I'm looking at it more like this. I want a guy who's going to care about the University of South Carolina's football program, and he's had a ton of success in this state here real close to Columbia, and he played football at the University of South Carolina. And I think you got to give a look at Eric Emery. You got to give the guy a chance eventually, and that's just my take.
Appreciate it, Justin. That would be a completely outside the box deal. You would think someone would have to have some college football experience. Yeah. Coming straight from high school would be a bold move. I think Gus Malzahn did something relatively similar, but he went through Arkansas State first.
I think it would make more sense to
have a guy like Bobby Bentley, who's made the progression now from high school football to a college analyst, then to a college assistant, to work his way up to coordinator. But certainly you can't knock the track record of Eric Kemery and all of his state championships at hand.
Gus Malzahn went from Springdale High School straight to Arkansas's offense coordinator. But part of that, remember, is he had Mitch Mustaine. And I think too, he had some players there that
it was a whole gaggle
Houston Nutt kind of was like, all right, to get these guys, might want to bring you in. And so it ended up.
After he was offensive coordinator there for just a year or two, he went as the head coach to Arkansas State.
He was there for, remember, he was there for 1 year. And it really only lasted about six games before Houston Nutt said, you're not good at this. I'm taking back over.
Okay, interesting. Should Will Muschamp hire the next offensive coordinator from outside the program for Gamecock football? 150 votes in as we begin hour number two this morning at Tim Hill 107.5 on Twitter. And right now, the overwhelming majority of you say yes, 87%. Bill, do you feel like this is not, maybe not a direct result, but heavily influenced by the last coordinator we saw hired from within the Gamecock football program in Lorenzo Ward taking over for Ellis Johnson? He had a good performance as an interim defensive coordinator on defense when the Gamecocks won the Capital One Bowl for the first time back in the day when they beat Nebraska. They played really well in that game, and that was kind of, Steve Spurrier said, is kind of, yeah, he gets a bit of a tryout. I remember I was on the sideline for that game down in Orlando being a TV nerd with a camera, and Lorenzo Ward towards the end of that game, typically you don't see coordinators who are in the press box at all if you're on right. the field after the game. Maybe you'll see him in the press conference or in the locker room, but even with a couple of minutes left, the game was in hand, and Lorenzo Ward was coming down to the sidelines to celebrate, and he was clearly elated with the performance of his defense, and it turned out to get him six figures in terms of raise and contract security moving forward. It was really a big step in his career. That's an interesting kind of background, I think, going into this Outback Bowl now, where you assume it's going to be an interim offensive coordinator. You're assuming it's going to be Ryan McClendon moving into this thing for the Gamecocks. And then you have a guy like Bobby Bentley with a ton of experience calling ball plays, most of them being in high school, where he won several state championships with Burns, but he did make the move to college as a head coach to Presbyterian, where he ran his own offense and they put up some big numbers down there. Has been an analyst over at Auburn and now an assistant under Will Muschamp here at South Carolina for a couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's different. I don't know if that particular scenario scares Gamecock fans. I think the thought process is just we got to go outside of the staff, and that's because more of the stigma of anybody that's associated with Kurt Roper. And that's,
so do you think this is also a Clemson influence as well? Because we saw what happened with Dabo Swinney when he went and got Chad Morris, as opposed right. to more of an in-house guy in Billy Napier before that. Because Napier was on the staff, I believe, with Tommy Bell.
Started with Rob Spence. I believe Rob Spence didn't make it through 1 year. Mm. If I'm thinking correctly, Rob Spence didn't last with Sweeney through more than 1 year. And then they switched
because
to Napier.
Because he was Tommy Bowden.
Right.
So,
and he might have fired, to be honest. All that's kind of hazy. That's almost 9 years, 10 years ago now. 9 years ago, I guess. But he might have let Spence go
after that season.
Right after he got the job, to be honest with you.
Because he's basically jumping a guy for a job, right? Yeah. You go from working for an offensive coordinator as a wide receivers coach to being his boss. That's a weird situation.
He might have. I'm sure Clemson fans remember a lot clearly, more clearly than I do. He might have let Spence go. That might have been his first thing he did because they lost at Wake Forest, I think, on a Thursday night. And then Bowden was out on Friday or that weekend, and then Sweeney stepped in. And Spence might have been gone, and Napier might have been promoted right away. But
no, I think they went through the season.
But you know, whatever it may be, it's. I think there's a fear here because of what Clemson did with Chad Morris. Man, you might have something in Bobby Bentley. You might have what, and I think that's.
I'm confused.
What if you have something? You've got something sitting there on your staff, and Bobby Bentley, who turns out to be a great offensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if listen, not that I think Bobby Bentley is leaving if he doesn't get the job, but that if later on Bobby Bentley, like say Jake Bentley leaves in a few years, and Bobby Bentley does get an offensive coordinator position somewhere,
Jake will leave in a few years.
And well, yeah, excuse me, but I'm saying when Jake leaves, if Bobby Bentley leaves in a few years, all of a sudden, if he goes and like lights it up somewhere, and you go, he was sitting right there the entire time,
right,
and. You know, look, there is some proven production there.
Are you saying the Chad Morris comparison because they're both
the high school they're very successful right. high school coaches.
Gus Malzahn, a very similar type background.
Malzahn,
as well in Arkansas.
Yeah, and so I think that there is that kind of line of thinking there, especially with Bobby Bentley, more so than Brian McClendon. I was looking back. Brian McClendon had the offensive coordinator title for the...
But as much like the Sean Elliott co-offensive coordinator title?
Well, no. Listen. For the Tax Slayer Bowl. I think somebody called in and referenced that not too long ago.
No, he was the head coach. He was the interim
But he was also... I went back and had read some articles on this. He was also in that game considered the offensive coordinator. Now, right. How much did he game plan and how much did he call the actual plays is hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, Georgia beats Penn State 24-17. This was after Mark Richt was let go. But Georgia had 327 yards of offense. They did not turn the football over. That day, the quarterback on that day for Georgia was Grayson Lambert, 10 of 20, 115 yards. They ran the ball. Sony Michel ran it 20 times for 85 yards. Keith Marshall is still with the program, ran it 14 times for 62 yards. It's a one-game sample. And so, I don't know how much Brian McClendon was actually involved in the he was that year listed as the passing game coordinator,
right.
So he was kind of considered the offensive coordinator. But again, there's nothing that I've read that suggests he was the one fully in charge of calling the plays and doing everything. Obviously, he was the head coach. So I think Bobby Bentley's the name that kind of jumps out at you is a guy having seen Gus Malzahn, having seen Chad Morris, having seen a few other guys. I mean. You know, there's a few other examples of that as well. Phil Longo's a name who's going to be mentioned a lot. He was putting up big numbers at Sam Houston State, an FCS program, and then has gone on to be the offensive coordinator right now at Ole Miss, and that's a name that is being mentioned very prominently. So I don't know with that, and that's why I don't think it's just as cut and dry as, man, you go outside of the staff, you go outside, because I don't think Bobby Bentley and Kurt Roper share the same offensive philosophies. I don't think that's – you're just continuing a trend of the same offensive philosophy. And I think also Bobby Bentley having been under Gus Malzahn and having some of that – the principles of his run game, it might not be the worst thing in the world given that Will Muschamp's familiar that one year with how Gus Malzahn's offense ran and how it connects with his defense.
Mark, a Clemson fan weighing in via the Shepherd's Glass inbox, says Spence didn't last 1 hour after Dabo was named interim coach.
Okay. I thought that Spence was basically –
thank you for correcting me.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that at all, but that makes a lot of sense at the time. A guy for a job, it would be weird.
And again, I think it was Billy Napier promoted instantly to the head coaching position.
That makes sense, and then that lasted for basically, what, a year or two, and then they go out and get Chad Morris, which is what I think, and we agreed on this, the seminal hire you can point to in Dabo Swinney's career where Clemson kind of takes the next step. Certainly Brent Venables helped after that, and they go up even another level. But I think Gamecock fans would love to have a guy like that come in from the outside, right? Tulsa is about as outside as you can get to Clemson football as anything. And Texas was all the ties that Chad Morris had. So Dabo Swinney just went out and said he got the best guy he could and brought him in, and they paid him a bunch of money and the whole thing. And we've seen what Clemson has become since.
And remember, in Dabo Swinney's, also in his defense, I don't know if I'm having to defend him for anything, the runner-up for that job, the two people he narrowed down to, Justin Fuente was the other one,
right?
Who was the offensive coordinator at that time at TCU. I mean, he was looking at Fuente or Morris. He did a good job. This goes back to somebody who called earlier. He did a good job of going out and identifying some guys. Now, I think Will Muschamp's a smart football coach. The question is going to be, what does Will Muschamp allow his offensive coordinator to do, and what does he allow the scheme to mesh with his defense? Are you going to go out and put some restrictions and say, well, I don't want to run this hurry-up, fast-tempo offense?
Or right.
What does Will Muschamp look for here in an offensive coordinator?
Mitchell puts it even stronger than that. He phrases it stronger, that question. Do you think Muschamp holds offensive coordinators back? Is he part of the issue with his offense underperforming? Mitchell hitting us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox at Tim Hill 107.5. He's at Will Gunter with 1L. That's certainly a legitimate question. Looking at Will Muschamp's head coaching tenure, his career back at Florida and now at South Carolina, and seeing the offensive numbers that go along with it. So we've gone through the offensive coordinators that Will Muschamp has had. Basically forced to have Charlie Weiss in his first year at Florida. After that, goes outside, much like Dabo Swinney did, try to hire the best guy available in the country. Brent Peace is the guy from Boise State, the hot name at the time. He didn't work out well at Florida. He's out of football right now after failing at UTEP this year as well. His next guy was Kurt Roper in his last year at Florida, and Muschamp says that if he had had Roper earlier, that his Florida tenure would have worked out differently. The numbers did not work out well for Roper and the Gamecock offense in 2 years at USC, at least through this year's regular season, and now it looks like a change will be happening. That's the main topic, of course, on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Looking forward to hearing from you. Let's do that now. Jay leading us off in this segment, talking about high school coaches making the move to college. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. We've got, just didn't want anybody to forget about that, Buddy Pugh from Fairfield Central in Winsboro, you know, two state championships, and how long has he been at South Carolina State? There's a lot of high school coaches that are around here, but do you want to single out just recruiting just here at our state, or do you want to branch out and see about finding some five-star players elsewhere? There's a lot of, with a lot of coaching changes this year, there's obviously a lot of offensive coordinators available. Mm-hmm. I'll hang up and listen.
It's part of the tricky timing of what we heard from Will Muschamp on Sunday night at his press conference talking about the Outback Bowl. Was asked directly about the Kurt Roper situation. He said the plan was to have Roper as his offensive coordinator through the bowl game. Clearly that doesn't seem to be the actual way they're going with that thing. Because of the coaching carousel just swirling around, the timing of this is a bit tricky.
Yeah, let's be clear. I don't think they should hire a high school. I understand what Jay's saying there.
But Buddy Pugh came to South Carolina as assistant coach before going to South Carolina State as the head coach.
Yeah, he was on Holtz's staff as running backs coach. But I guess the point being is I don't think they go and hire. There's too much on the line for this job. You need somebody with some college experience. Bobby Bentley doesn't have college experience calling plays, but he has college experience coaching. And I think that's...
Well, he called the plays at Presbyterian.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay. That's a good point. When he says go out, there are other good high school coaches around. You want to hire one to be the running backs coach or not to be offensive coordinator. Well, the reason Bobby Bentley's in this discussion is because he's been on staff and he's been in a college program now, be it in Presbyterian or offensive analyst at Auburn.
But he's been in the SEC for several years.
And so
But Eric Kemery was brought up earlier, the former Gamecock, long time now, Hammond, right. Very successful state championship winning coach, and that's what I said at that point. It didn't seem quite logical to make that big jump when you got a guy who has kind of done the middle steps in Bobby Bentley right
well,
on the
step. Well, there's too much on the line with this. And I think that's where...
But
and
don't I think you go the other way? Like, no. There's been a lot on the line for Will Muschamp previously, and those offensive coordinator hires have not worked out.
I think there was with the Roper hire, both of the Roper hires, the one at Florida and the one here, but... Again, you were going with the guy who had a little bit of experience there.
Right.
This
one didn't work out.
This one, you've got so much coming back, and the program all of a sudden is on the upswing. It's not like, remember, when he hired Roper the first time, they were coming off a 4-8 season. And now you're on the exact opposite. You're 8-4.
Right.
You've got this quarterback who's supposed to be kind of the face of the program. You supposedly are getting your best playmaker back in Deebo Samuel. You're going to have running backs in Dowdle and Turner and this kid Deshaun Fenwick, who's supposed to be pretty good, Tyson Williams. You have other receivers in Ortre Smith and
Everybody's
Brian Edwards.
Back but Hayden Hurst.
So the bottom line is, like, all of a sudden somebody is stepping into a really, really good position.
Right.
And you just I know that you can never say, man, well, you get a freebie on this when you get a mulligan. But this is one where you got to go out and you got to get a guy who's either – Bobby Bentley, I think that's why people are going not in staff. There's just not that guy on staff. And that's why I think you're here. You can hear guys that nail like Phil Longo, like Jake Spavital at West Virginia, who's been around. I've heard the guy's name at Oklahoma State, whose last name I can't pronounce. I'm sure John could, but I can't.
We'll get John in here today.
And so, you know, there are other guys out there. Noel Mazzone, who, again, has got ties to Will Muschamp and – was the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M. I don't think he's accepted a job. I think that's why you're going to hear guys who have got some experience.
Mm-hmm. Mike Yurchich, I think is who you're talking about there, sure. The Oklahoma State guy. We're back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines. I just wanted to point out, though, that it is a little different because Bobby Bentley is the father of your star quarterback coming back.
I don't think you can let that bother you, though, because, again, he's only going to be here for 2 years.
Jake, you're talking about. But Bobby, if he wants that job, we assume he does, that will be something that has to be resolved, right? A guy that went for a job and another guy comes in from the outside and he's on the staff now. You got to work with him every
That's
day.
True.
You're
yeah.
also the father of the guy that he's basically in charge of. There's a lot involved in this thing. Chad's been waiting very patiently to get in next on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Chad, you're just going to go straight to the Tennessee coaching search?
Yeah, I got a perfect candidate for Tennessee. Coached in two BCS bowls. They probably wouldn't have to pay him much. I think his previous two employers are already paying him. And I'll hang up and hear you guys comment. Charlie Weiss.
I'm guessing that was a joke, Chad. RJ's up next this morning. Good morning, RJ.
Yeah, I hope that was a joke. That was a bad one for Tennessee, believe me. Guys, there's one thing that you haven't brought up this morning, and it could make a decision of how Muschamp wants to go. You know, you've got a guy who basically is a pocket passer. You guys know that Jake doesn't run very well. You got a guy coming in, that's what he does. So what kind of philosophy do you want to bring in, Bill? Do you want a guy who throws it around, lets his quarterback run, or do you want to bring in a guy who and basically throw Bentley away for the next 2 years, or do you want a guy who comes in as a pocket passer guy, and when your new guy gets there next year, what's going to happen to him? I mean, I want to kind of let you guys talk about that because that's kind of interesting to me.
Thanks, RJ.
I think you make a good point. What I completely disagree with you on is that Jake Bentley can't run. I think Bentley can run. Now, Bentley's not – if you're comparing athletic mobile quarterbacks and DeCarrion Joyner and Jake Bentley, I totally get it too. But I do think you can run a similar style offense with Jake Bentley. The difference is Bentley's not going to rip off a 20- or 30-yard run. I guess I shouldn't say that. He has the 20-yard run against Vanderbilt, but he's not going to be – I did carry on Joyner. I still think you can run a similar offense with Jake Bentley the plays a little bit when you get to carry on Joyner to take advantage of his legs.
For instance, one of the best college football offensive minds that we've seen in recent memory is Bobby Petrino, right? And he succeeded with a guy like Ryan Mallett, who's a pocket guy, and he succeeded with a guy like Lamar Jackson.
True.
So yeah. You don't have to choose one or the other.
We saw it here. Connor Shaw and Dylan Thompson.
Right.
Going from Connor Shaw and Dylan Thompson ran a lot of the same plays. They just incorporated the quarterback run more in with Connor Shaw. I think you can have a marriage of someone's system. I don't think it's got to be black and white as to, all right, you have an offense suited to run the quarterback zone reads, and then you have a system suited just for the straight back drop back passing quarterback. Steve Spurrier managed to kind of intermingle an offense in which it had a guy in Dylan Thompson who could hurt you with his legs but wasn't going to be a Connor Shaw, and you had a guy in Connor Shaw who could hurt you with his arm but wasn't a Dylan Thompson. I think it was two different guys, but they married that offensive system together, and it was a pretty seamless transition from Connor Shaw's senior year to Dylan Thompson's senior year. As a matter of fact, the numbers went up. And, yeah, I mean, again, Dylan Thompson, we remember the 3rd-and-19 scramble up at Clemson. Maybe you remember him keeping the zone read play at Florida. That was Will Muschamp's final game or final game as head – final game as not being fired head coach. But he kept that and surprised everybody. I think you can run a system. You can find a guy who incorporates the zone read. And Jake Bentley can run. Again, he's not going to break off a 50 or 60 yard touchdown run.
He's got double the touchdown runs than anybody else.
But he does it close in the end zone. But again, you need something that incorporates more around midfield.
But you're in agreement with me. It doesn't have to be one or the other when you're talking about an offensive coordinator.
No, you can run a system that
offensive coordinator should be able to adjust to either.
Exactly.
And should be able to have their offensive.
You got your base. You got your base set. Kind of like you just said, Bobby Petrino's got his base set. This is what we're going to do. Okay, I got Ryan Mallett and Tholt. We're going to air more towards the throwing it. Now I got Lamar Jackson. We're going to air more toward him using his legs.
Interesting feedback from some Gamecock fans, and this goes into it. Craig hits us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox, says, you guys don't think there would be too much of a conflict of interest if Bobby Bentley was the offensive coordinator because Jake Bentley's his son? No, I don't think so at all. These are big boys, and they get paid a bunch of money, and that's part of the deal. It would be an interesting, certainly, relationship, but I don't think there's a conflict of interest there. And Jonathan says, if we go internal, I hope the Gamecocks go with Brian McClendon as the offensive coordinator. He was put in the Georgia interim coach before they hired Kirby Smart for a reason. So interesting relationships that are already there and fan opinions going into this hire. Going to be interested to see how they continue to evolve and morph and how long this whole thing takes as well. Talking about the Tennessee coaching job search. I don't think this will be nearly as long or as interesting slash a train wreck. It's going to be hard to do that. 85% of you staying pretty steady today going with yes, the Gamecocks should go outside the program.
And I just don't think it's – I don't think it's that cut and dry for – look, it goes back to – and we'll probably get – I want to get maybe more into this tomorrow, but your confidence level in Will Muschamp making this hire. Because if you're not confident – that he's going to go out and hire somebody good. I just, when people say it like that, they just act like it's a magic bullet that you go out and you just instantly, okay, we got our guy. And
like Brent Peace was that guy.
Exactly.
From Boise State. after the Charlie Weiss situation didn't go well for Will Muschamp. They immediately move on. He goes out and gets the hot name. He's a Boise State guy, proven track record. It does not work out well. Then he moves on to Kurt Roper for one last year at Florida. That didn't work out well there or here. And now Will Muschamp as an evaluator certainly comes into question, not on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive side of the ball, being able to produce points. That is a big issue. And we'll see how this gets resolved. A lot of names popping up. John Lott hits us up, says one huge factor in Roper's replacement is finding the right quarterback's coach who can get Jake Bentley to be sharper in the passing game. Bentley struggled too much in November. And the word regression has been used multiple times on our program. And I think it's tough, but it's fair. And what we've seen from Jake Bentley from snap number one in college football to his last snap against Clemson.
I also think if South Carolina goes out and can win this bowl game, if they can go out and have a good offensive performance, the excitement level for this team going into 2018 is going to be maybe as high as we've seen it since the mid 2012, maybe 2011. I mean, you got so much coming back, and this is an opportunity. We'll see what Will Muschamp's learned now. Is I think Will Muschamp continues to evolve as a head coach, much as Dabo Swinney continued to evolve as a head coach and learn and figure things out, how to run his staff, how to put people in place to succeed, and that's exactly what he's done. You look at the success that they've had, and you know, we got the phone call earlier referencing the Ray Tanner letter and being satisfied with 8-4. What do you expect? 24 months ago, you were 3-9, and now you've got to look. I'm not saying.
By the way, it didn't say that Ray Tanner did not say he's satisfied with going 8-4. He was just pointing out the positive attributes of his program and saying that's not enough, clearly. But going to the Outback Bowl is a good season for the Gamecocks. Winning 9 games would be just the seventh time in school history. Something like that would happen. What are you grinning
at? I'll tell you in a minute. I just think that, again, you're right. A lot to be happy about, a lot to be proud of where the Gamecock program is. And if you're trying to compare it to Clemson or Georgia, it just doesn't make any sense. South Carolina's not at that level right now. You can't worry about
but
those
only
programs.
Two other teams in the country are, and you could argue not even that in the college football playoff.
So, you know, I think with that in mind, this is, again, the chance for South Carolina to continue to move itself forward. And
speaking of that, an interesting tweet in via the Shepherd's Glass inbox for Chavis. Says to beat the big teams, we have to think like them. Bring in Hugh Freeze or Art Briles. They want a chance to redeem themselves. Why not us? Bama will do it. Those are certainly the two most polarizing offensive names you could throw out. Maybe if you threw out Bobby Petrino in there, but at this time, he's probably not as polarizing as Hugh Freeze or Art Briles. After the tweet last night from Dan Wolken, by the way, he mentioned by himself Hugh Freeze as a possibility for the two SEC East offensive coordinator openings, and mentioned that the penalty that the NCAA gave him, a suspension, would only apply if he's a head coach, yeah. And there was no show cause deal that would apply to him being an assistant coach.
Art Briles is a different kind of polarizing.
Mentioned by several other Gamecock fans via the Shepherd's Glass inbox. Kendall Briles was the offensive coordinator this year, Florida Atlantic, for our buddy Lane Kiffin.
What an exciting time.
There are a couple of qualified guys already on the staff, and running backs coach Bobby Bentley and wide receivers coach Brian McClendon. Several of you weighing in on that. Several of you throwing out other names. Ryan just saying that I honestly love the idea of Bentley implementing his offense and calling the plays. I think he's more than qualified and deserves a shot in the bowl game to show it. Now, just that last part right there brings up, Bill, we mentioned it several times in the program, we expect one of those guys to be kind of the interim offensive coordinator, right? You said you expect Brian McClendon to get the job. We expect that news to come out relatively soon from Will Muschamp, because they'll have to pick a direction and go with it here in bowl practice. What does that performance in the bowl game against a good Michigan defense mean? How much stock do you put into that? Because we bring up Lorenzo Ward from, 5-plus years ago, 2011 Capital One Bowl, I believe it was, where he's the interim head coach after Ellis Johnson has moved on and taken the Citadel head coaching job, I think, at that time. No, it wasn't the Citadel, Southern Miss, excuse me. And Lorenzo Ward gets promoted as the interim defensive coordinator. The Gamecocks play well in that ball game defensively. He becomes the DC. It works out pretty well for a couple of years, and then the defense falls off the cliff, and that leads to a pretty ugly ending of the Steve Spurrier era.
I think I don't think that bothers anybody. I don't. I could be wrong. I'd be interested to hear reasons that people want to go outside of the staff. I know we're getting a lot
maybe
of votes.
Maybe if Steve Spurrier was still the head coach, that it would factor more into his line of thinking as opposed to Will Muschamp, completely different situation.
I'd be interested to hear the reasons people are saying to go outside of the staff. Do you just have better candidates, or do you just not believe in Brian McClendon?
Well, you don't have any proven guys on the staff right now as far as offensive coordinators.
Here's another thing I think that you had that, well, not Tim Hill has to think of, but Will Muschamp has to think of. What role do you want Brian McClendon to play in this organization? Because I feel like Brian McClendon wants to be offensive coordinator. I mean, you feel like that's a natural progression. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like he wants to be offensive coordinator.
But not just him. You would think anyone in his situation and his career would want to do that. As well, I would think Bobby Bentley would want to be offensive coordinator too.
And there was at least one report that I saw last night with Willie Taggart being named, that one guy that he's going to target is Brian McClendon to potentially come in and head up being the offensive coordinator. Now, Willie Taggart, I believe from what I've read, is more of his own offensive coordinator and likes to be heavily involved in it.
Almost like a Muschamp Travaris Robinson situation on the defensive side of the ball.
Right, but Brian McClendon is maybe your best recruiter. Maybe second best behind Will Muschamp.
By the way, if you didn't see the picture last night, he and Will Muschamp, an in-home visit with Dekarion Joyner, the Gamecock commit quarterback, unofficial, obviously, but he's expected to become official here in this early signing period coming up in a few days.
And how does it now? I think Brian McClendon is about to be very well paid, compensated by the university for whatever it is. I mean, they want to keep him. What he's done with that receiving group is very impressive in terms of taking it from a group that was a couple walk-ons. And I mean, you think about that class that had Shaq Rowland and Jody Fuller and Quentin Smith, and they all flamed out. And all of a sudden, in Spurrier's last year, they're playing two walk-ons. I think it was Matrick Belton. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but Matrick Belton, and there was another walk-on whose name I forget. It had really, from the days of Ace Sanders and Kenny McKinley and Alshon Jeffery and even Torrey Gurley and, you know, Nick Jones, Bruce Ellington. I mean, you think Demir Byrd. All of a sudden, that goes to basically two walk-ons that you had out there. I give Brian McClendon a lot of credit because they do have a bunch of different guys. When you look at the guys, say what you want. I know some people are going to say, well, Clemson didn't want them, and that's how Brian McClendon got it. But look, you still had to fend off other programs. It wasn't like South Carolina and Clemson were the only two schools recruiting Ortre Smith and Brian Edwards. You got those two. Shai Smith, Chad Terrell has been a good pickup. I like Josh Van in this class, who Georgia wanted very badly. He's done a good job of building a receiving group, and I think he's also recruited other players that have been vital to this program.
So then the question then becomes, will he stay on the staff if he's not offensive coordinator?
Exactly. If he was to get even money. Because I think they're going to pay him well. I think they're going to pay him upwards of $750,000, maybe even close to $1 million. I think South Carolina's going to show that they're willing to compete with the big boys on that. But if it's even money to go to Florida State, but you get the offensive coordinator title, but you don't have it at South Carolina, why to stay? And so it's going to be interesting to see, because that to me is part of this. I hate to say this and trap Bobby Bentley, but let's be honest, Bobby Bentley is not going anywhere.
And part of his situation is that his son is the quarterback.
Exactly.
And then that will be part of the situation with whoever, if it's not Bobby Bentley, or even when it is, if it is, that will be part of the whole deal that comes with the new offensive coordinator that's not Kurt Roper.
It makes you wonder, and I don't know what Will Muschamp's going to do. I thought I'd been hearing that this was going to happen in terms of Kurt Roper not being retained or parting ways. I'd been hearing Brian McClendon was going to call the plays for South Carolina in the bowl game. The fact that McClendon was down there last night with Will Muschamp. Now, Will Muschamp's got to take somebody with him, right? Like, I mean, somebody's going with him. But it makes you wonder, did he have Brian McClendon there to kind of spell out, okay, to carry on, Kurt Roper's not going to be here anymore, but here's going to be the new guy who's called in place. Here's how he wants to incorporate you in the offense moving forward. Just a thought in terms of taking Brian McClendon down there to kind of spell out how you want, what the plan for Dekarion Joyner will be moving forward.
How does the conversation go otherwise is my question. Like, that's a weird thing. Like, there's no way that any of us who've been around college football believe that they didn't give Dekarion Joyner a bit of a heads up here, right?
Yeah, right. Well, you talking about last night or prior to the visit?
No, last night.
At least
last night. Because, I mean, the news comes out and...
You think they showed up and DeCaro's looking around like, there seems to be a coach missing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, no, look, here's the deal.
But there have been stranger things, I guess, in college football recruiting. You know, I mean, we've heard about coaches just leaving in the middle of dinner and not even saying anything to recruits. And there have been odd situations for sure. So I shouldn't leave it outside the realm of possibility. I find it very hard to believe, though, that it was an accident that Brian McClendon went and that there wasn't a conversation about the future of the Gamecock offense that involved very heavily Brian McClendon being a part of that. Now, how much, we have no idea, right? And how legitimate some of these names that we're hearing as suggestions from fans are as possible USC hires as an offensive coordinator. For instance, Chad S. Morris hit us up this morning and says, Les Miles for offensive coordinator? Well, that sounds like one of the strangest moves of all time. Timothy Catwell says, Skip Holtz, redemption for both he and USC? Those names don't make a whole lot of sense to me on the surface for sure. There are a lot of more legitimate names out there that would be outside the staff, but I think McClendon and his career arc make a very strong argument right now for staying in-house and knowing Will Muschamp's, I was going to say loyalty, but the cachet he's built up already
right.
by going 8-4, I think gives him a little bit of leeway here that he would not otherwise have if the Gamecocks were even 7-5, certainly 6-6 in year number two.
Well, and here's another thing, and I get the concerns about McClendon, but if one of the things, and this is not a bash Kurt Roper session, it's not what I want to do, but one of the things we'd heard about Kurt Roper is Roper was just kind of his own man. There was not a whole lot of other, Will Muschamp might have offered opinions, but there wasn't a whole other bunch of opinions being taken from offensive staff. If Bobby Bentley had a suggestion in the run game, it was Kurt Roper's show. Kurt Roper was going to run what Kurt Roper wanted to run and run his scheme. If it's Brian McClendon calling plays, but you have a true co-offensive coordinator system in which Bobby Bentley is contributing almost as the run game coordinator, saying this is how we want to organize our run game, and you have McClendon doing the pass game, but McClendon's calling the plays, but there's a lot more input.
When he comes back to his job, ask him about that question.
Nice. So John was trying to get in here. Spencer was.
Oh, okay, John. All right, no problem. I see. Okay, so yeah, we're still waiting.
Yeah,
but he's enjoying Bojangles. I passed him.
John, so lazy.
So, but I think the question for me is, would fans accept that? Like, because there's a lot of people out there. I see we got people that want to make suggestions. Why not Brian McClendon? Because he was on staff? Because he's never done it before? I can understand that he's never truly done it before. I get that, but why not him?
I think there are legitimate other names out there that would certainly excite a fan. And you look at a proven track record, that would be the instant reason why. But I hear what you're saying, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Will Muschamp handles this situation moving forward. 803-404-6100, the Love Chevrolet phone lines. We'd like to hear your opinions on this situation. Also, continue to hit us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox. Hammerhead just sent the gif of Spurrier doing the old karaoke on the field and said, here's your guy. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be absolutely amazing
for college football
in general, but certainly around here.
Here's the question. Would Spurrier consider?
Are you kidding me? He would love it.
Like,
this is an ideal situation for him.
The stipulation for him is like, look, man, all we want you to do is call ball plays from August.
There's not a better situation for
him. We don't want you to recruit. I don't need you to, if much as I don't
right.
need you to recruit. Matter of fact, I don't want you going in the home of a recruit because we know what you say to kids.
He would love it because, first of all, a lot of the fan base turned on him anyway, so he doesn't have to, like, pretend to suck up to him, right? He can say even more whatever he wants to say and just call ball plays. And the post-game press conferences would be amazing because he would not listen to Will Muschamp's rule. Can't speak to the media. He just rolled in there
gonna say,
like, right behind him.
That's the one thing, yeah.
All right, who needs some quotes? I thought the Mike Leach to Tennessee thing was good. We just keep getting better and better on this program. Jimmy would like to weigh in with an offensive coordinator suggestion for the Gamecocks. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know it's probably a long shot, but I would love to see a guy like Cliff Kingsbury come in from Texas Tech with that offense. Young guy, quarterback guy, would be great for recruiting, great for players if you're a skilled offensive guy. I don't know why you wouldn't want to be in that offense. He's coached a little bit of every style from Case Keenum to Johnny Manziel, so he could pretty much fit any quarterback type. I'll hang up and listen to y'all's comments.
Jimmy, you're suggesting that Kingsbury would leave his head coaching job at Texas Tech and come to South Carolina as the offensive coordinator. Bill, you okay?
Well, that's where I'm going with some of this. Like, if they're not going to hire McClendon, it's not an open market out there.
Everybody's clamoring for the spot.
I mean, you can't. I'm waiting on the person to go, well, Kevin Sumlin doesn't have a job. He knew what he was doing.
Like, okay, that brings up how attractive do you think the job is? First of all, as the University of South Carolina offensive coordinator. Secondly, with Will Muschamp as your head coach, how does that change things?
I think it's a very attractive job, but Will Muschamp being your, like, what is, you interview for the job. Let's say you're in demand. The Oklahoma State, the Yurich,
Mike Yurchich.
Yurchich.
Mm-hmm. Other guys have brought up Darryl Dickey, for instance, at Memphis, has a really great reputation right now as well.
Let's say Yurchich looks around and goes, man, talent. Bentley, wide receivers, I like that. But then you go interview. The question I'm asking Will Muschamp, what are you going to allow me to call? What are you going to allow me to do with that offense? And the question is, what is Will Muschamp's answer? We don't. Mm-hmm. I think publicly Muschamp's going to go, well, we need to do this. We need, like, Muschamp's.
My question would be, as a prospective employee in my lifetime, how much do you then believe the answer? I would search out his previous offensive coordinators or guys' previous staffs and get the real information as opposed to what you're going to be told in a job interview setting.
But that's when you say how attractive is the job. I think that's the million-dollar question that we don't know about is what – and this goes back to not being able to maybe speak with Kurt Roper. Not that I think Kurt Roper would have come out and thrown Will Muschamp under the bus and said, well – I wanted to go downfield every play, but Muschamp said, no, everything's got to be within 3 yards. I think that that's the question, and you make a good point. I think from a talent standpoint, if you're a young, up-and-coming offensive coordinator, you look at that job and you say, man, I got these guys around a good quarterback. I got another good one coming in. Okay, I'd like to go there and work. But then you look at the history of Will Muschamp, and you go, what am I going to be allowed to do? Or do I have stipulations on what I can do? And I think that's where it gets very interesting in terms of how this hire goes. Brian McClendon knows what Will Muschamp wants. And I think Will Muschamp already has an idea of Brian McClendon and the ideas that Brian McClendon wants to input on the offense. So I do wonder two things. If this is truly going to be a tryout, or if Muschamp's talking to people, or is he saying, look, let's see how you do. Because with the early signing period, also this is kind of fascinating here, with the early signing period, you're not going to bring somebody in before December 20th. So any offensive recruit that doesn't sign, I don't know how attached they were to Kurt Roper. I've yet to hear a recruit say, well, man, Kurt Roper, that was my guy, and that's where I was going because of Kurt Roper.
Dan hit us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox asking how this change, if at all, affects recruiting. In your opinion, being a resident recruiting nerd, not even like 5%?
Zero.
0%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zero. I think it's absolutely zero. I think maybe a kid had been holding it back and not saying it in interviews, but there had not been a young man to come out and say, I'm going there because of the offense, because of the offense coordinator. You hear a lot of it because of Brian McClendon. You hear a lot of it because of Bobby Bentley. Not one kid. I mean, even DeCarrion Joyner, who you would think would be the guy closest with Kurt Roper, said, look, if he's let go, I hate it, but I'm still going there. They showed me love from the get-go. Like, you feel like his relationship, Joyner's relationship, was closer with Will Muschamp, the defensive head coach, than it was with the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. So I don't think it changes it at all. But to go back to what I really wonder about here is what the offensive coordinator will bring to the table, what he's allowed to bring to the table, and therefore that makes it interesting. And again, is Will Muschamp actively talking to guys, or is he going, Brian, this is your job, let's see how you do, and we'll make a final decision. I'll have a final resolution after the bowl game.
Joshua just hit me up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox, said Kevin Sumlin, ? Just for you. But Sumlin at least doesn't have a job, as opposed to Cliff Kingsbury. What?
Charlie tweets in, just McClendon, offensive coordinator, Connor Shaw, QB coach, Sidney Rice, wide receiver coach.
Marcus is up next on the Love Chevrolet phone lines with another suggestion. Good morning, Marcus.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. You?
I'm doing good. I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. I got two recommendations for co-offense coordinators.
Okay.
Eric Kimmery mm-hmm. and Steve Tannehill. And that'll solve our whole problem right there.
Okay. Thank you, Marcus. Kimmery has been suggested earlier on in the program. I mentioned, despite his tremendous high school success, it would not make much sense for Will Muschamp to do that right now, knowing how much his reputation as a head coach will be on the line with this hire. Steve Tannehill has been out of football now for at least a year. I think it's for 2 years now. It would not make a lot of sense. I don't see them going with legacy Gamecock guys. I understand the suggestions, though. The most ridiculous tweet of the day came from Michael A. Lewis. He says, the Gamecocks need to hire someone to build around DeCarrion Joyner. What about Michael Vick? We'll continue with our...
I think people are doing this on purpose.
Our trolling show today, and I love it. We'll get John's opinion on this thing in a little bit as well. We're out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines to hear more of what you have to say about this. Todd up next. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good.
Hey, I don't know much about Brian McClendon's experience, so I can't speak to that. But I know that Bobby Bentley, and we're talking about high school, he lit people up offensively in high school when Shuler, his son, was the quarterback. I believe he had 67 touchdowns one season, and that was a state record. But Bobby, I know, is a motivator. My son used to go to quarterback camps with him before he went to Auburn. That guy can coach, and I would feel 100% confident with his ability to be able to call plays. And it makes me feel good to think that I heard that possibly Kurt Roper was his own person and didn't take influence from other people, because the entire time I was watching them play and hoping that Bobby could make a difference and call some plays. Now I think I hear that he probably didn't get to put his opinion in a whole lot more than, you know, just a little bit. And I'll hang up and listen to what y'all got to say, but I think Bobby would be an excellent person in that position.
Well, you're certainly not the only one, and that's why we mentioned the in-house on-staff hire or going outside the program. And both Bentley and McClendon have resumes that are worthy of being SEC offensive coordinators. You going through the trolls over there on the Shepherd's Glass inbox? Is that why you're giggling?
Sammy and Tim Player both weigh in. They've got suggestions. Rob Spence is who they say. Rob, get Rob Spence. And then Lee Hogan replies, we just fired him. Have you ever seen Roper and Spence in the same place together?
Jesse goes with, personally, I'd choose Chad Ochocinco. Jason Andrews says, I think we should lure Howard Schnellenberger out of retirement. He knows how to coach offense, has a good history recruiting the state of Florida. Okay. And Drew Stewart weighing in, former WIS sports anchor, says Steve Tannehill might make a good quarterback coach, not an offensive coordinator. Okay. So a lot of interesting names being floated out there. So how do you see then Will Muschamp's approach to the McClendon / Bentley situation on staff?
Well, I don't know. We don't know. And the reason I say that is, look, all we have to go, we have as a show, I guess, I don't know if you want to join me on this or just put it all on me, but we've kind of speculated that Kurt Roper would not be back for about the last now 6 or 7 shows. And so all we still have to go on is a Dan Wolken tweet. Like, there's nothing, as you mentioned, there's nothing official from the university. The last time we heard Will Muschamp talk about it, Will Muschamp said the plan is for him to be our offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm, but how he said it certainly lends a lot of credence to this report.
So with that in mind, you know, I don't know how Will Muschamp views this situation. I think that's interesting to...
Okay, let me put it a different way. Does Bobby Bentley, being the father of Jake Bentley, make this more complicated?
I don't think it should. That's me personally, because Jake Bentley is only at South Carolina for 2 more years, and Will Muschamp has to be thinking long. I realize he's got to be thinking about next year. In terms of, next year's a big year for South Carolina. You're at that tipping point. Now, going backwards next year and going 7-5 and the offense struggling simply can't happen. Can't happen. Going forward, winning 9 games next year in the regular season with the schedule, you don't have to win the East. There's going to be expectations to win the East. There's going to be people talking about South Carolina as a dark horse to win the East. Maybe even outright favorite, although I don't see that with Georgia. Given the schedules, when you look at South Carolina's schedule compared to Georgia's next year, it's not inconceivable. But, again, going back to it, I think that you cannot think, in my opinion, you can't think about it. You have to hire who you genuinely think is the best guy for the job, and Bobby Bentley has a track record. Brian McClendon does not. But Brian McClendon has...
He does have a track record, but not necessarily as an offensive coordinator.
I don't know if you would say that theirs are comparable. Yeah. Bobby Bentley's got it. I think, to me, and it goes back to the poll question, it's so lopsided. Our poll question is so lopsided, and people just say, no, you got to go outside of the staff. And I guess I'm making fun of the people who are sending in Kevin Sumlin and Howard Schnellenberger and who else have we had? Tannehill.
Now they're just messing with you to a large degree. David Wade just hit us up with T. Martin. Boy, wouldn't that be an interesting hire?
You say people are messing. There's some people I genuinely think that are like, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, some of them. Schnellenberger and Michael Vick, I think they're messing
with
you.
But my point is, like, all right, who is a good, realistic candidate? Here's the other thing. Here's one other thing to remember that I think is interesting when you talk about McClendon and Bentley. Mm-hmm. They're familiar with the personnel on this team right now.
Sure.
Like, that transition, if they're going to run a different, a modified version of whatever they were doing, maybe not the same thing Kurt Roper, they're going to change things up. They're familiar right away with the personnel that's already on this team, and maybe you make small changes to your... Are people upset with the scheme or the play calling? That's another question, because if you're not – and they are different because people were upset with some of the play calling, some of the simple run plays, maybe not being – not breaking tendency enough in certain situations and being a little bit too predictable.
Isn't that the scheme?
No, I think that's – to me, that's play calling. To me, it's play calling. Scheme is in that shotgun, having guys go in motion, some of the passing routes, some of the passing formations. To me, there's a difference in having a scheme that works, but not necessarily – I mean, we go back to it. Kurt Roper, the play calling, I thought the scheme seemed like a good idea, but the play calling in of itself, one game you see Jake Bentley run the football 6, 7, 8 times. Mm-hmm. The next time against Clemson and Georgia, he never runs it. That's play calling. That's what so you're calling up in the box.
More theory versus reality, I guess, I'm hearing from scheme versus play calling.
Yeah, because, again, to me, what you're calling in the box, if you're not calling, if you've got it in your playbook, if it's in your scheme to run the quarterback and you do it against Vanderbilt and Wofford and Tennessee, but then you go play Georgia and you go play Clemson, you go, well, we're not going to run them. To me, that's on the play caller.
Right.
And so I guess that goes back to what I'm saying there in terms of Brian McClendon and Bobby Bentley. And I do think if you're going to stay on staff, it's got to be a combination of those two.
Okay, that brings up the co-coordinators, right? We saw it work out awfully from a defensive standpoint when Steve Spurrier tried to bring in John Hoke and basically demoted Lorenzo Ward, but they were technically co-offensive coordinators. The only situation that I know where it's worked out really well is the guy who just won the Frank Broyles Award last night is technically the co-offensive coordinator at Clemson, and Tony Elliott, and Jeff Scott has been there as well. But that was a situation where they took over an offense that was already humming at a very high level, and they had been kind of groomed to do so. So that's not the situation we have right here. Got a tweet in on that, because I've been comparing hiring someone on staff to the last time that happened at the University of South Carolina, and that was Lorenzo Ward. And Colton hit us back up and says, I got no problem with Brian McClendon taking over. He says it would not be the same situation as Lorenzo Ward, who got the keys to a Mercedes in the Ellis Johnson defense with Jadeveon Clowney and company back in the day. This offense, Colton says, is far from the talent level of the defense that Lorenzo Ward inherited. If McClendon can take this offense and do well against a defense like Michigan, he needs a shot. Now, I have a problem with a one-game tryout situation and basing all your information on that. You mentioned that you don't think Will Muschamp's going to make a move before the early signing period. I think if he goes in staff, it wouldn't be inconceivable. I don't think it's inconceivable that he makes a move before then, especially with all the fluidity right now, the coaching carousel, where you feel like you might have to lock a guy up if you can get him. It wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility, I don't think. We also have to consider, if Brian McClendon doesn't get the job, what happens to his future? We got another tweet on the Shepherd's Glass inbox. Donnie says hiring outside the current staff could disgruntle McClendon enough to leave. He's a heck of a recruiter. You mentioned Florida State and Willie Taggart's interest in him. And someone else hit us up and said if one of the current guys isn't being pursued by another school as an offensive coordinator, he's probably not the best candidate for this job as well. Well, Florida State's interest would then kind of negate that theory. You with me on that?
I just think that at the end of the day, I think it's a lot easier to say go off of staff than it is. If you got to have a suggestion. And again, I know Phil Longo's name is going to be mentioned. I've heard Jake Spavital's name. Rhett Lashley, who was with Muschamp at Auburn and is now at UConn, is a name that I've heard mentioned. There are other names. Let me give you those three names. Let's start with those three right there. Let me narrow it down to the two that I think are very, very possible. Phil Longo at Mississippi and Rhett Lashley at Auburn. Are those better options? Do you feel more comfortable with Will Muschamp hiring those guys who have called plays than you do with Brian McClendon? Because, again, I think McClendon would be the offensive coordinator. I don't see Bobby Bentley being promoted over him. McClendon would be your OC with Bentley having input and being the co-OC. Do you feel better with a Longo or with a Rhett Lashley than you do with the guy who's already on staff in McClendon and Bobby Bentley?
I think fans initially would like the fact that Will Muschamp went outside the program, and that's what we're getting with an 85% vote to go outside the program to hire a new offensive coordinator. But ultimately, we have no idea how it would work out. The track record for Will Muschamp is that they have not worked out these outside of his program hires. We're talking about Brent Peace back in the day. for Florida, and then Kurt Roper, and clearly here at USC as well. Ellen, with a good one on the Shepherd's Glass inbox. She says, rub some more salt in the Tennessee wounds and hire Peyton Manning. Let's hear what you have to say on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Todd's been waiting patiently to get in on the conversation. Good morning, Todd. Hey, Todd, are you there? All right, we got to move on. Joey is up next on the program. Good morning, Joey.
Hey, bud, if y'all look outside, how about Tom Knotts from Dutch Fork High School? I'll take it off the air.
Well, certainly for my high school reputation, you don't get a better coach than Tom Knotts, but at the stage of his career, he's already retired from the North Carolina system and is getting retirement there, and he's been at Dutch Fork now for years and years and years, I guess going on a decade, just won back-to-back state championships. He's not a guy. He's not a college football guy.
Right.
And typically, that didn't – I didn't say typically. I don't think that's ever happened at the stage of his career. I think he's
the age.
Yeah. But as far as track record, certainly no shortage of resume from a guy like Tom Knotts and all the state championships with Dutch Fork and then previously Independence High School up in North Carolina. More Shepherd's Glass inbox feedback about the report that Kurt Roper is out as offensive coordinator for the Gamecocks. Brian says, I hope we do not let anyone go unless we already have someone online. Look at the Tennessee dumpster fire. My concern would be Brian McClendon was on staff and it didn't help, or was his input ignored? I believe what you've heard, Bill, is that Kurt Roper was pretty much in charge and was going to make the call that he wanted to make, and it wasn't necessarily a collaborative effort.
Right.
Steve Spurrier was kind of, I feel like, criticized to a large degree that he said, well, everybody gets in on the headset and throws some things out there, and then I'll make a final call every now and again. And there were reports out there that that wasn't always the case, one way or the other, and it would kind of morph back and forth, and that was always part of the Spurrier play-calling deal that I found very interesting that anyone would ever question how Steve Spurrier was running his offense. Clearly, it wasn't the best offense in college football year in and year out, but the guy had a proven track record. That proved to me that fans around a program like South Carolina are always going to find fault with play calls if the play call does not turn out well. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the situation that the next offensive coordinator will step into, along with other variables right now, with a couple of guys on staff that are qualified to be in there. One guy on staff who is the father of the quarterback that you'll be coaching. It's an interesting situation. Also knowing Mule Muschamp's history with offensive coordinators and where Muschamp is right now in his coaching tenure in heading into year number three at USC, coming off improvement for sure, but struggling offensive numbers. We're back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines at 803-404-6100. Clemson Sean waiting patiently this morning. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, guys. You know, I read an interesting article last night about Clinton Portis and Sean Taylor and Santana Moss, how they like to
pregame ritual.
Take a shot of Hennessy before every game, and it got me thinking. I know every morning before I get ready for work, mm-hmm. you know, I like to pour a little Irish cream in my coffee and do some calisthenics, you know, in my office.
Sure, gotta get
so
loose.
You know, I just wanted to pose the question to you guys and see, like, what kind of pregame or pre-show rituals do you guys like to do?
That is the first time, maybe the second time, you've actually made a positive contribution to the program. Thank you, Sean. What do you think, Bill? I know you've been going with the egg with the hot sauce here recently. Jen, what about your pre-show ritual? Mine is about 7 gallons of coffee.
A lot of water.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
A lot of water?
I got to learn to drink coffee.
First of all, I thought you were encouraging the Clinton Portis-esque
hey, we're
pre-show ritual for us.
Well, I'd like to get it started, but...
You know, they say people that drink a lot the night before drink a lot of water the next morning.
Why would you know that?
Mm-hmm. Read it in a book.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On how to
protein
get over the night before.
Uh-huh.
Trying to learn up on how to get over the night before.
Just a renaissance man, a lot of reading.
Wow.
That's what I do.
He is.
Brian is up next on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning. You guys doing all right this morning?
Doing all right. You?
Yeah, I'm doing well. If he's Clemson Sean, I guess I'll be Auburn Brian for the next few minutes.
Catchy.
Auburn fan, living in South Carolina for the last 20 years or so. Good friends with your regular caller, Billy. Have y'all heard from Billy? I've been in and out this morning, so I hadn't had a chance to listen. I know he usually calls about 7:30.
I would think
he heard from him today.
I would think that he would have called up triumphant because he's usually on the anti-Kurt Roper bus, but apparently,
oh my gosh, absolutely, yeah.
No, he and John, from what I understand, he and John were out like celebrating last night, and that's why we've had problems with John this morning. Why we hadn't heard from Billy?
So next time, I'll give Billy some stuff about only calling up to complain and not to look at any kind of positive sides.
Well, I did see him the other night at a get together, and I know that he would. I know he's thrilled. I hadn't had a chance to talk to him this morning, but he's on the Longo train. So he wants Longo from Ole Miss.
Right
now, which is interesting because I heard you say Longo and Rhett Lashley a few minutes ago, in the same sentence. Rhett Lashley, of course, I'm an Auburn guy, but I was sad to see him go from Auburn. I guess last year he left for UConn. So, I think if Carolina could, I don't know, if I have no idea how his year went up there, but he's a Malzahn guy. He was the quarterback for Malzahn at when he coached high school. But Rhett Lashley was Malzahn's quarterback in high school and kind of came up through the ranks. So if you want a piece of Malzahn's take on all this, and I know some people, you know, love Malzahn and some people really don't, but. If you want the offensive mind, I think you guys were talking about earlier, and a little piece of Malzahn built in, Rhett Lashley would be, if he was interested in coming back south, that would be an incredible hire for South Carolina.
Thank you, Brian. UConn 46th as I look up teamrankings.com and total offense this year. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
A lot better than South Carolina on the same rankings at 109 and Michigan at 99. Teamrankings.com total offense yards per game. Back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Jay up next on the program. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I've been listening to you guys talk about hiring inside and hiring outside. I think for me, I'm scared about the comment that you made a few minutes ago was that, you know, if these guys are on staff, what's the true likelihood that they're going to bring something that's so much fresher than what we currently do? Although you do get the terminology staying the same, you get guys knowing them. And if, you know, I'm actually a fan of Brian McClendon. I think he's a young, sharp coach, great recruiter. And I like what he would bring to the staff. And he would be the only person that I'd be comfortable with. And our fans need to be smarter than to continue to suggest all these high school coaches because that's just ridiculous. But for me, I'd love to go outside the coaching staff only because, like, when you look at Jake Spavadal, Lashley, the guy you just talked about, they get guys in space. And they have a great running game, but and it brings a fresher identity. We've had, like, a pretty old school philosophy in the way that we run the ball, the way that we throw the ball. And when you're a middle-tier school and you don't have these huge names of the Bamas, the LSUs, the Florida, like, you have to have some sort of identity where people understand who you are. And
thank you for the phone call, Jay. Sorry to cut you short. Sounds like you are in the overwhelming majority. The Frank's Discount Tire poll question today. Should Will Muschamp hire the next Gamecock offensive coordinator from outside the program? 85% say yes. 426 votes in. Thank you for all your thoughts, opinions, and contributions. This is the early game. It's 107.5 The Game.